So we read of her conversion in Revelation chapter 7, for example. Revelation chapter 7, we read of the conversion of the 144,000 Jewish witnesses. But also note then verse number 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. So we read of her conversion here in Revelation chapter 7, with many others that are saved during the tribulation period. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 12, please, Revelation chapter 12. In the third verse, we read that the devil is cast out of heaven and he takes one third of all the angelic beings with him. Note there in Revelation chapter 12, the third verse. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. The woman here is in reference to Israel, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So we read here in chapter 12 of the devil being cast out of heaven, who takes one third of all the angels with him. And we see a battle taking place in heaven between Michael the archangel and Satan and his angels from verses 7 to 9. Verse 7 it reads, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Upon being cast out of heaven, we read that the devil persecutes Israel, seeks to destroy her now that she is converted, saved. Note there in chapter 12, verse number 13. When the dragon saw that he was cast out of the earth, he persecuted the woman. The woman here is in reference to Israel, which brought forth the man-child. Note verse 17 of chapter 12. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is in reference to converted Israel. So Israel is converted by the middle of the tribulation period. Three and a half years into the seven-year period, Israel is converted. So not only is Israel being persecuted, but God also continues to pour out his righteous judgments upon the earth. Note there in chapter 11, please, verses 18 and 19. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Verse 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. So not only is the devil mad over Israel and seeks to destroy redeemed Israel, but the devil is also mad at Almighty God for pouring out his judgments upon the earth. And as we read back in Revelation chapter 16, verse number 11, it reads, and blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So by the middle of the tribulation, man knows full well that God is pouring out his wrath upon the earth for his sin, and yet she remains in unbelief. Thank God many are converted, but many are not. And meanwhile, this world leader begins to usurp his authority. And this Antichrist reveals his full colors in chapter 13 of Revelation. By entering into the Jewish temple and setting up an image of himself and demands worship. In chapter 13 of Revelation, verses 4 to 6, it reads, "And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." So this Antichrist, this world leader, reveals his true colors as the world dictator and demands worship, and he demoralizes the Jewish temple by having an image of himself placed within this Jewish temple and demands worship and allegiance and claims divinity in the process. If you were to visit Israel today, you could go to Jerusalem, and there is an institution known as the Temple Institute, where they are building and plotting away and preparing for the building of this temple. They've got the plans. They're training the priests. They're doing everything they can to build this temple. And this world leader is going to allow this temple to be built. And for 3.5 years, the Jewish people are about to worship in this temple. But at that middle point, the Antichrist will come in with an image of himself, and he will demand worship. He will reveal his true colors. So not only does the Antichrist, or otherwise known as the man of sin, denigrate the temple, the Bible teaches us that he begins to make war with Israel and with those that are saved during the tribulation period. Note then verses 7 and 8 of chapter 13. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints." This Antichrist will be a military man to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindred and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And note then verses 16 to 18 of this chapter. "And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. 666. Note there in Zechariah, please, chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12, please, verses 2 to 4. Zechariah Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 to 4. It reads, "Behold, verse 2, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. So it's with this detailed background we come to what we refer to as the Battle of Armageddon, where the Antichrist will rally his army against the redeemed and against God himself. Now this battle will take place in the second half of the tribulation period. When you compare scripture with scripture, and we see at the middle point, he comes in, he reveals his true colors, he demands worship, and he literally becomes the world leader. He's a military man, and he assembles a great army to battle against the redeemed and God himself. This has to take place during the second half of the tribulation period. And it will conclude with our Lord's second coming in Revelation chapter 19. The Battle of Armageddon is a war, not a single battle. If you go back to Revelation chapter 16, please, in verse number 14. It talks about, "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day." So this battle of great day is in reference to a campaign, literally a war. So the Battle of Armageddon will not be an end, will not be the end of the world. But according to the scriptures, God will deal with the rebellion of man and sentence the beast, this world leader, the Antichrist, this man of sin, the false prophet, his chaplain, to the lake of fire by the end of it all. Revelation chapter 19, verses 19 and 20, please. Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20. It reads, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." This is the Battle of Armageddon. Comes to a climactic end, and the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And all of God's people said, Amen to that. So God will conquer the nations of the world, but he will not destroy the world at this time. It's known as the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And it will begin in the second half of the tribulation period. And this war will continue for 3.5 years, and it will come to a climactic end with the second coming of Christ to the earth, and we will return with him. So where will this battle take place? Well, it's known as the Battle of Armageddon, Megiddo, this strategic point in the land of Israel. It's on the top end of the land of Israel, just down from the Sea of Galilee, the middle point between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. It's part of what's known as the Plain of Esdraelon. Whoever controlled this area controlled the world from each major direction. This area is also known as the Valley of Jezreel. If you're looking down upon the Valley of Jezreel from Mount Carmel, this valley is on the right-hand side. Beautiful outlook, beautiful. It's an open plain area. And this is where the battle of battles will take place in the second half of the tribulation period, climaxing with our Lord's return to the earth. And Megiddo is this strategic location where the nations of the world can come from every direction to battle. Many battles were fought in this area in time past. This area was known as a battlefield throughout past history. And this area will host the Battle of Battles, known as the Battle of Armageddon. Josiah and Saul were slain in the Valley of Jezreel, in this area. Deborah and Barak defeated the Canaanites here. Gideon overcame the Midianites here. And according to history, approximately 34 battles have been fought in the Jezreel Valley, the Valley of Armageddon, at the base of Tel Megiddo. This area of Megiddo will be the central location for this great war between God and man. But this war will extend over all Israel. The Bible talks about bloodshed throughout the land of Israel. Bloodshed will be visible, the Bible teaches us, for some 1,600 furlongs. Note there in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 to 20, it reads, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Bloodshed will be visible for some 1,600 furlongs, which corresponds basically to the whole of the nation of Israel, from north to south. There'll be bloodshed from north to south. The city of Jerusalem will be also central to this great war as well. This great battle, even though its main battle will take place here in Megiddo, it will be fought all the way down to Jerusalem. Beginning in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, just outside of Jerusalem. Note there in Zechariah once again, please. Zechariah chapter 14 this time. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 to 4, it reads, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the horses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. This is in reference to his second coming, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. It will be divided in two. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. So the city of Jerusalem will also be central to this great battle, this great war that takes place. And if we go back to Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 11, please. It reads, "In that day shall there be great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadramon in the valley of Megiddo. In Joel chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible reads, "I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat," which is just outside of Jerusalem. "In the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered amongst the nations and parted my land." So the area of Megiddo will be a central location for this great war, but the battle will flow all the way down to Jerusalem. And therefore we have the reference to bloodshed for the whole length of the nation of Israel. It's going to be a battle of battles, a war of wars. Who specifically will be involved in this great war? Well, as we've already said, all the nations of the world. If we go back to chapter 16, verse number 14, the Bible talks about the kings of the earth in verse 14, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Nations from around the globe will be involved in this great battle. The Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin will assemble this great army, convincing them that together they can defeat God's people and defeat Almighty God. How foolish. How foolish. God tells us that part of this world army will be the armies from the oriental nations in the east will enter Israel via the Euphrates River drying up. Note there in verse 12 of Revelation 16, it reads, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up." The Euphrates River is on the east side, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. So God tells us that the armies from the oriental nations in the east will enter Israel via the Euphrates River drying up. Now go back to Revelation chapter 9, please. Are you still with me? Okay. Revelation chapter 9. I hope I haven't lost you. Revelation chapter 9. Note here in verse number 16, it gives us some insight concerning the size of this army from the east and the number of the army. This is one of the armies. Note, "And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. 200,000,000. How much is that? 200,000,000. An army of 200,000,000 will come from the east as part of the army of the Antichrist to fight against the redeemed, to fight against God, and this army of 200,000,000 from the east will have access into Israel via the drying up of the river Euphrates that will completely dry up. What nation today has an army easily of 200 million? There's only one nation. It's called Communist China. Communist China. And the Bible's very clear that it will be an army of 200,000. With the drying up of the Euphrates River will come from the east in order to battle against Almighty God. And there's only one nation in the world today that could provide that sizable army in the present. Armageddon, it's important that we understand that Armageddon, the war of Armageddon, is not the same as the Russian invasion of Ezekiel 38-39. Russia invades from the north. At Armageddon, the nations come from all directions. Russia invades to capture Israel's wealth, according to Ezekiel chapter 38. But Armageddon, the invasion is to destroy God and the redeemed. With the invasion of Russia, of Israel, Gog is their leader. But the Antichrist leads the war of Armageddon. Russia's invasion leads to Israel's salvation. Armageddon takes place because Israel is saved and she is persecuted by the Antichrist. And we read in Ezekiel 38 that Gog or Russia is overthrown by natural means, earthquakes, pestilence, hailstones, rain from God. But at Armageddon, the armies are destroyed by the sword that comes out of our Lord's mouth. Revelation chapter 19, please. In verse 15 it reads, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." So this global army will be formed by the beast. And if we had time, we'd go to Daniel chapter 11. Write down Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 to 39. It talks about the Antichrist, the man of sin, being a man of war. And if we go back to Revelation chapter 16, please, verse number 14, we read of demonic activity. We read of deception will be used by the beast and the false prophet to form this world army against the redeemed and God Almighty. And the nations of the world will be one army against our God. And as we've already said, if we compare Scripture with Scripture, we see that this is not just a single battle, but rather a series of campaigns, battles between God and this world army. And we know the second part of the tribulation period is known as the Great Tribulation, because it's from this point the beast invades the Jewish temple, sets up an image of himself, stops the sacrifices in the temple and demands worship. So therefore we conclude that the battle must begin sometime from the middle of the tribulation period and will climax with the second coming of Christ at the end of the tribulation period. If you go back to Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, it reads, "He hath in his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him. Who is the him? The Lord Jesus, to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army, which is you and I that are redeemed. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. It's important for us to note chapter 19, verse 19. The climax of this war. And with the second coming of Jesus Christ, the enemy is defeated. The beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. And then in chapter 20, we move into the 1,000-year reign upon the earth, of which we will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Note there, chapter 20, verse number 3. Then verse number 5. Then verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On the second, on such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So this tribulation period will climax. This battle of Armageddon will come to a conclusive end with the return of Christ, and we will reign upon the earth for 1,000 years. God will deliver us from this tribulation period. Back in chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible reads, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. God will deliver us from this tribulation period. Keepeth his garments is in reference to purity and holiness. And with the onslaughts taking place during the tribulation period, it would have been difficult to make a godly stand. It wouldn't have been easy. And so likewise in our day, even with the onslaught of evil that prevails all around us, it's not easy to take a godly stand. But beloved, you and I know that we're on the victory side. And so critically important that you and I stand up for righteousness and stand up for godliness and stand up for holiness. But it won't be easy. But the Bible teaches us, blessed are those that will maintain their purity and maintain their wholeness in the midst of opposition and persecution. God calls us to give. God calls us to stand for what is right and that which is true. And beloved, it's not going to get any easier. It's only going to get harder and harder and harder. We are so protected here in the land down under. We really are. But it's not going to get any easier. May God help us to stay true to the Word of God and be faithful to the end. For Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10, in reference to the church of Smyrna, the persecuted church. Verse 10 reads, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Our heart here at Metropolitan Baptist Church is for the whole world. And even though we might not experience immediate physical persecution, there are many brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world that are experiencing that persecution. And it's important that we are mindful of them and we are praying for them, that they will stand true upon the Word of God. So thanks be to God that we are on the victory side. And the battle of Armageddon is only around the corner. Jesus Christ is coming again. The world is arming for Armageddon. There's a wonderful little bi-monthly little news booklet, prophecy booklet, known as the Herald of Hope. And it's a wonderful little booklet, talks about the Lord's return. And one of the articles in this edition reads, "Wherever we look, we see preparations for war. Nations are arming with the latest weapons. And it's not just for show. The production of military hardware is accelerating. The Chinese Navy now has more fighting ships than the mighty US Navy. And this is driving her neighbors into defense pacts and arms purchases. In December 2021, Australia announced the purchase from South Korea of 30 AS9 Huntsman self-propelled guns and 15 AS10 armed ammunition resupply vehicles for delivery between 2025 and 2027 at its facility in Geelong, Victoria, in a deal worth $730 million. This follows other moves to obtain nuclear-powered submarines that we've all heard about, have we not? In 2002, Australia committed to purchase 100 fifth-generation F-35 fighter planes. By March last year, 33 had been delivered. Finland is to purchase 64 of these F-35s. A parliamentary report claimed the British had too few surface ships and submarines and only a limited offensive capability. It urged an increase in F-35 combat jet numbers and stated, "We're going to need a bigger navy. Overall, our navy needs more ships armed with more lethal weapons and the most up-to-date technology. This is in spite of a substantial shipbuilding program of 5 Type 31 frigates and 8 Type 26 anti-submarine frigates. NATO is planning to boost its cyber defense arsenal. Romania is purchasing 32 F-16 fighter jets worth $513 million. Didn't think Romania had such money. From Norway. And Norway is spending nearly half $1 billion on equipment from the US. Kuwait has just received the first of 28 Eurofighters from Italy. Laser weapons are being trialed by Israel and other nations, and hypersonic missiles have been tested by Russia and China. Russia has shot down a satellite in space, and the US plans to shoot a meteorite, and this is only a fraction of the arms race taking place. In Joel chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it reads, proclaim ye this amongst the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. And the author goes on to say, if this is not preparation for Armageddon, I am surprised. And just the other day, I was looking at the news and Andrew Bolt was interviewing the richest woman in Australia, the wealthiest woman in Australia, who was pleading that Australia spend more monies on arms and weapons to defend herself. Beloved, Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming again. And may God find us faithful. And praise God, God hath not appointed us a day of wrath. And may God find us faithful. All of us have loved ones that need the Savior. And we've read time and time again, one of the marks of the Antichrist will be deception, deceit. Many will be deceived during the tribulation period. And that ought to encourage us and stir our hearts to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. Because in 2 Thessalonians, the Bible teaches us many will believe a lie. The devil is a deceiver. The Antichrist will be a deceiver. And many will be deceived. So it's so important that you and I are diligent witnesses for Jesus Christ. That we maintain a standard of holiness and godliness for Christ and at the same time share with others the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. I'm telling you, it's happening. Just listen to the news. Bible prophecy is the stage is being set before us. And praise God that God has not appointed us a day of wrath, but salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's value that salvation and let's share that hope with others.